Our Shabbos say good morning. Shechianu v'kimanu v'giyanu tu hamocher ha-sabayis. Fourth parak in Baba Basra, Daf Samech Aleph 61a. Let's begin. Hamocher ha-sabayis. We'll say, so now the Gemara is going to talk about over here, when you sell property. It's actually really very interesting Gemaras. Fascinating Gemaras. Riveting. So says the Gemara the following. When you sell property, what's included in a sale? So we'll say, this is very lemaisa stuff. Now, obviously, I'm going to give you the caveat that the simple answer is, what's included in the sale? What's the simple answer? The simple answer is, it depends. Meaning, and it depends societally. Meaning, a lot of these things are governed by what the normative practices of the marketplace are. So therefore, the Mishnah is going to reflect to me, again, those normative marketplaces. So it says, the Gemara, Mocher Sabayis, if somebody sells a home, Lo Mocher Yitzia, he did not go out of us, we'll translate Yitzia as an add-on or an annex. Now, if you take a look at the Rashbam says already, Hayitzia b'Gemara Mefarish. We'll discuss exactly what that is. Now, very important idea. The Rashbam says, Amochra Sabayis, he says, Stam. A person goes in and sells a home, Stam. Bosei, Stam means, I'm just telling you, I'm selling you my home. Obviously, in situations where people articulate what's included in the sale, we have no shilas. Our shilas always come up in situations where people make general statements, and we have to try to figure out the specificity in the generality. So therefore, again, person sells a home stam, so the shilah becomes now what's included in that. So lo machra se yitzia, va'afapi shepsucha b'sochon. I will say that is true. Even if the yitzia, even if that annex is opened up into the main house. But say furthermore, again, if you have this chiddush lifnim hamenu means you have some type of add-on room on the back of the house. But say we're going to see what this is much more like. It's like a shed. So if you look at the Rashbam, v'lo asa cheder, af apil shulifnim en abayis upasuach l'socho udrisaso l'abayis dechayvan de'in tashmisho kishal beso shein asoy el latzni hasham chafatzov lishmor kamenteva helchach inu b'chal abayis. So we'll say if you have like a shed or some type of storage room on the back of the house, even though the thim in this case means on the back of the house, even if that storage room or that shed opens into the house, that storage room or shed is not automatically included in the sale. Now the reason for that, says the Rashbam, is because that storage house, that storage room, has a different type of usage. A home is primarily used as a domicile. The storage house is used for storage. Therefore, I will say what the Mishnah is going to teach you, we'll see, is when you sell a home stam, it's only parts of the house that function as a domicile that ultimately are included in the sale. But parts of the home that function in different ways, like storage, may not be included in the sale. Therefore, again, this storage room in the back is not included. Below asagak, this is amazing. You also don't include the roof. I will say, now understand something, what's happening over here. Remember, the Mishnah is coming from the perspective of talking about flat roofs. So we're talking about a flat roof, meaning this was an additional area of usage. So watch this. So I sell you my house. A stam sale does not include the roof. Bizman shiyesh lo ma'akeh gavoh asar tefachim. If the roof, Rabosai, has a ma'akeh, if the roof has a fence, or a railing that's more than 10 tefachim, so we'll say that makes it usable. So essentially, that becomes a mukum onto itself. So if I just sell you stam a home without explicitly including the roof is not included. But again, that assumes that the roof is its own independent area for usage. Rabbi Huda says, "Im yesh lo tzuras pesach, af al pi she'im gavoh yutfachim inu mocher." Rabbi Huda says, even if it doesn't have a fence that is, or a railing that is 10 tefachim high, but it has a tzuras pesach. It will say tzuras pesach means it has its own distinct doorway. It has its own distinct doorway. Even in that case, that makes it almost like a reshus onto itself, and therefore it's not automatically included in the sale of the home. I was like, can you imagine what that looks like? You sell somebody a home, right? And then the first day the guy's, you know, walking around in his pajamas, you walk in, I'm sorry, don't mind me. I am just going up to the roof. Incredible idea. Says the Gemara. Ma Yitzia. See, who says there's no humor in Gemara? People think it's so dry. It's not dry. So Ma Yitzia. So says the Gemara. So I will say, what is this Yitzia? So remember, we translated it as annex. But the truth is, from an etymological perspective, we're not exactly sure what that means. So the Gemara says, Hocha Targimo Afta. So here they translate it as an Afta. It's very helpful. So if you take a look at the Rashbam says, Afta, he says, Binyan Namuch Eitzel Habayis Mitzido Ome Acharav. So we'll say, it is a low a low structure next to the home, which is either, again, which is on the side or behind it. So says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, it's a bitka, actually bitka chalila. If you look at Rashban, bitka chalila, ihu nami kamin afta, this is also like an afta, samoch labayis, ela sha'asui chalonos chalonos lenoi. Vahainu lashon chalila, hashem kos lo chalukol tzivav, va'asui chalonos. So also listen to this. So essentially both are translating yitzia as a part, as an addition to the home. He says again, it's a smaller structure that is either on the side of the house or on the back of the house. The machlokis over here is between afta and bitka chalila. Afta means it's an enclosed area. Bitka chalila means it's an enclosed area, but it has windows on all sides. It has windows on all sides. I guess they call it like a sunroom today. Something effectively like a sunroom. So we'll say, but again, says the Gemara, Leman domer afta lo mizdabna kol shekin bitka chalila. So we'll say, according to the one who says that the afta is not included in the sale, all the more so the sunroom. Because Rav said, Bipashtos, again, a person is not going to use a sunroom for normal daily activities of living. Why? Because Rav said, this ties into yesterday's Gemara, because there's no privacy. There's no privacy there. Therefore, again, it's not really going to be used as a domicile. So, however, the Gemara says, Laman damar bitka chalila, hava aftam is davno. But however, again, the one who says that the yitzia means a bitka chalila, an add-on or an addition with windows, that's not included in the sale, but the afta would be included in the sale. Why? Because since Rav Yosef has normal walls, it can be used ultimately as a domicile. Fine, so says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef, Shalosh Shemos Yeshlo Yitzia. There are three different names given for this yitzia. Three different names for this yitzia. What are the three different names? So yitzia, tsela, ta. So we'll say these are all just three different names for the same type of structure. And the Gemara just quotes different psukim to back this up. Yitzia, why does it call the yitzia? Dichsev, hayitzia tachtona, chamish ba'ama rachba. So we'll say this is in Malachim Aleph, talking about the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash by Shlomo HaMelech, and speaks about the idea that there was this Yitzia Tachtona, this lower chamber that measured 5 amos in width. So we'll say, the only reason the Gemara is bringing this down is just to show you the words. So you just find this word in Tanakh, this word Yitzia, which effectively, by the Beis HaMikdash, it refers to a chamber. But over here, for our purposes, we're using it in the Mishnah to refer to some type of annex. Tzela. So again, tzela. It's also called a tzela d'chsev. Again, according to the pasuk from Yechezkel, Hatzelos, tzela, tzela, el tzela, shalosh u'shloshim panot. So we'll say here, interestingly enough, the Yechezkel in his nevuah is ultimately referring to the third Beis HaMikdash. So in referring to the measurements of the third Beis HaMikdash, he speaks about, again, these chambers that he calls a tzela. Fine. Ta, dichsev, vahata, kana echad, orech, the kana echad, rachav, bubein hasoim, ubein hasoim, chamesh amos. So we'll say again, another pasuk from Yechezkel, ultimately referring to the third Beis HaMikdash as well, speaking about the ta, the sa. The sa ultimately, again, is some type of, is a room within the Beis HaMikdash itself. So all the Gemara is just pointing out is that, biblically speaking, we have three different words for what the Mishnah calls this Yitzia, this annex, the three words being Yitzia, Tzela, and Ta. Good. So says the Gemara. The other possibility is, you can see it from here, Kosel HaHechal, Sheish, V'Hata, Sheish, Kosel HaTa, Chamesh. Okay, so we'll say so again, quotes an additional pasuk over here where the Navi uses the word ta to refer to this type of structure. Arma Zosha, Vahuta Havi Arbam. So we'll say now we're going to define a little bit more in some greater detail about this Yitzia. So Marzucha comes along and says the following. When do we say that if you sell a home stam, it does not include the Yitzia, it does not include the annex? Marzucha says that's only if what? That's only if the annex itself has at least a space of Daladamas. What I will say? Because if it has a space of Daladamas, then Lamaisa, at least, again, it's considered to be its own separate domain. Take a look at the Rashbam Armar Zotra, about 6 lines in when it gets intermediate wide Armar Zotra. Hadisan Lamachar say Yitzia, Vahudi Ika Daladamas, Daladamas, Choshe Bifne Atzmo Vilo Lo. So we'll say, Marzutra says, when the Mishnah says that if you sell a home stam, you don't go ahead and include the Yitzia, that's only if the Yitzia is at least Dalad by Dalad, 4 Amos by 4 Amos, because then that's a Makom Choshev. But if the Yitzia is not Dalad by Dalad, then what? then it is automatically included in the sale of the home. Amar Ravina Lamar Zutra, so Ravina said to Mar Zutra, Lididach da Amrit Adahavi Arba Amos. So according to you, says that the Yitziyah is automatically included in the sale of the home if it's less than Dalet Amos, and only not included if it's more than Dalet Amos. What about the following? Elame Ata Gabe Bor. We'll say, what about a Bor? Back to our Bor days. This none. Lo Asabor, Velo Asados. So we'll say the halacha is the following. The halacha is, we'll see this in a few days, but the halacha is that if you sell someone a home, the sale of that home does not include any type of bor or any type of dos or ma'ara. It does not include pits, wells, we'll talk about wells, but cisterns, caves, things like that. Even if a person says, I sell you my home and all of its height and all of its depth. So you see again that a bar is not included in a sale. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami havla arba amos in ilo lo." So are you going to say that that is only true if the bar is dalet amos? Now we know it's not true. Even if the bar is less than dalet amos, the bar is not included in the sale. So here you have Ravina asking Mar Zutra the following. Mar Zutra, you're saying that Lamaisa, the Yitzia, is included in the sale of the home if it's less than Dalet Amos, because essentially it's bottled to the home. But yet by a pit, even if the pit is less than Dalet Amos, it's still not included in the sale. So how do you reconcile these two things? To which Ravina responds, it's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. To which Mar Zutra responds, it's not a kasha. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, Hasam Hatash Mishtaluchud. The Hatash Mishtaluchud, in the case of the bar, a bar has a fundamentally different usage than a home. Therefore, by definition, when you sell a home, you're selling a home as well as parts that have a similar usage. But parts that do not have a similar usage, ultimately, again, are not part of the sale. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the bar, unless explicitly stated, is never included in the sale of the home. Hacha, but I will say here, by the case ultimately of the Yitzia, effectively the Yitzia as well as the home have one general common usage, which is living. Living, they're both living spaces. Now again, granted, the Yitzia is not the same level of living space as the home itself, but Lamai said they're in the same family. Therefore, again, because they have a certain commonality and purpose, Ihavi Dalet Amos Chashiv. So again, if it's its own separate reshus, it's its own significant area of dalet al dalet, then fine, it's not going to be included in the sale. But the ilo, but if it doesn't have a makam of dalet, then lo chashiv. So the boss said, at the end of the day, what? At the end of the day, it's not considered chashiv, and therefore will be bottled to the home. So essentially, what the Gemara is saying is the following: as much as we are reckoning, and we accept Mar Zutra's distinction halacha lemaisa, so as much as we look at the yitzia as a separate entity from the home, and the Mishnah tells us that the yitzia is not included in the sale of the home, Mar Zutra says that's only if the yitzia has an identity unto itself. How does a piece of property have an identity unto itself? It's at least dalet by dalet. Then it's a makam bifnei atzma, it's a place unto itself, and therefore not automatically included in the sale of the home. However, if it's less than dalet, because there is a certain level of commonality and purpose, commonality and usage, therefore by definition it becomes bottled to the home and will be included in the sale. As opposed to the bar, which we'll get to a different time, where the bar shares no commonality of usage with the home, and therefore by definition is never included in the sale of the home itself. So we'll say, furthermore, again, the Mishnah said that if you sell someone a home, right, that halacha lamaisa, if you have a room, a storage room, even if that storage room opens up into the house, that storage room is not included in the sale. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. Hashti yitzia lo mizdabin cheder mibayit. Now we'll say, if a yitzia is not included in the home, right? And after all, again, a yitzia, at least is a place for what Rabbi Osai, is used a little bit for living purposes. If you're telling me then that a yitzia is not included in the sale, then Rabbi Osai, it goes without saying that the cheder shalifnim, that the storage room is not included in the sale. In other words, again, the yitzia, as we just said, the yitzia at least has a certain commonality and usage. So what we'll say is the yitzia is house-like. And yet you're telling me that that is not included in the sale, then of course it goes without saying that's what? that a storage room, Rabosai, which has no commonality in usage, is not included in the sale. That's right. So Hashta Yitzia, good morning, Mr. Shalom. Hashta Yitzia Lo Mizdavin, Cheder Miboy. Right? If Yitzia is not going to be included in the sale, then do I have to say anything about a Cheder? I'm a Deis, Rabosai. To which the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. So says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha. Lo Tzricha. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Lo Tzricha. L'misni lo macher es hacheder, ela d'macher lo mocher lo lokeach mishtar mechira mitzorim chitzorim shechutz l'cheder. The Sakad Ait Chamid is supposed to listen to this. Lo Tzricha, let me read it first in the Gemara. The Af Agav, the Meitzar, the Matzar lo mitzari avroi. What's the novelty over here? The novelty over here, Bosei, is I sold someone a property. And what did I do? I staked out the property. I'm selling you my home. And I put the stakes in the property to demarcate the area of the property that I am selling. Even though I've staked out the property, I don't know if that's the right term, staked out the, I'm sorry?
Sure.
Good. Good. She overruled. Sorry. Staked out the property, even though I staked it out. So, Lemaisa, again, nevertheless, the cheder is still not included. It's still not included. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment again. Lo tzricha lemisni, lo machar tzacheder, ala dematzer lo mocher lelokeach, bishtar mechira, mitzarim chitzorim shechutz lecheder. The sakad ait chamina machar lesacheder, shari besocha mitzarim hu, kamash melon, masnisin belo machar ela bayis. So we'll say the novelty of the Mishnah is the following. That even if I staked out the property, now by the way, the Rashbam points out that it could literally either be with actual stakes, right? Like the things with the little orange on top of it, the survey stakes, right? Survey stakes, right? So even if I staked out the property, whether I did that physically or whether I did it in the shtar, and that area includes the cheder, the cheder is still not included in the sale. So says the Gemara. Now, what does that mean? Kidur Rav Nachman. We'll say second line. Samech Aleph on the base. Tam Rav Nachman. Or Rav Baravua. Hamocher bayis lechaveiro bebira gidola. If I sell my friend an apartment, right? An apartment in a bira gidola in a large building. Afa pi shematzar lo shemetzar lo mitzar machitzonim. So I say, even though, let's say again, when I stake out the property, I stake it out in such a way that it looks like I'm selling him the entire building, right? Nevertheless, I'm only selling him the actual apartment. Why? But what about the fact that I staked out the larger property? Mitzarim herchivlo. We'll say that we'll discuss what this statement means. Mitzarim herchivlo means sometimes people expand the area that they're staking out, even though, again, they're only selling something much smaller. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Kidrav Nachman. Shelo yada lefarish velo marchider shalihi mima'arovo shalbayis. De'in zet meitzer hanikar la'an she'ir. V'ilcha kasa mitzari nikar. So once Rav Nachman says that sometimes when people are selling a specific property that's hard to demarcate or hard to identify, they will identify or they will stake out a larger area. But not in order to sell that entire area, but to identify the location of the parcel or of the piece of property that is actively being sold. Take a look at the Rashbam, Babira Gadol. He says, Bayis Gadol, uposchen lo batim sibosav, ve'in habira asu letashvish ali yeshiva. Fine. So says the Gemara, Hechitam. So we'll say, let's analyze this. So it says the Gemara. So we'll say. So here's what we have so far. We have the Gemara telling us that the novelty in the case of the cheder, the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that when you sell the house, you don't include the cheder. The novelty of that ruling is that even though I staked out the entire area around the house, and that includes the cheder is still not included. But one second. But that's the area that's staked out. To which the Gemara says the Mishnah reflects the view of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman essentially says that sometimes people stake out larger areas, but not in order to sell that entire area, but in order to identify the area of the parcel of the property or of the unit being sold. But the intention is not to sell the entire area. See, his proof to that is, I sell my friend an apartment in the Bira Gidola, in the large building, even though, again, I staked out the entire area around the building. Nevertheless, he's only sold the property. Now, both sides. Now, we're going to get into, by the way, not now, we're going to get into what the Gemara's, the obvious question on all of this is, why don't you see how much the guy paid? Right? Did he pay $200,000 or did he pay $2 million? Say, if he paid $200,000, he didn't buy a whole building. If he spent $2 million, maybe he did. So, says the Gemara, so we're going to discuss this. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami, so what's the case? So let's go to the apartment building case. So now what we're saying is the following. I saw my friend a bias. And what happens? The bias is located in the Bira. It's located in the apartment building, or in the large building. So, and now I staked out the entire area around the apartment building. So what is Rav Nachman telling me? I only sold him the apartment and not the entire building. So says the Gemara, well, let's analyze this. Even though I staked out the entire property. Hey, can you tell me, what's the case? Says the Gemara, So I'll say, people normally call an apartment building an apartment building, and a bias, or I should say, an apartment, and a building a building. So pshita, bias zavim, lebira lo zavim. So I'll say, if I tell someone I'm selling you a bias, then what? Then it obviously means I'm not selling you a building, because they're two different terms. Ella, rather, what has to be the case over here? De lebira, nami karle bias. So also, rather, what do you have to say? You have to say that sometimes they call a bira a bias. So I tell Reuven I'm selling you a bias, but sometimes they don't just call an apartment a bias, but what? They call the building a bias as well. Well, if that's the case, kula zabinle. We'll say that's the case, then Einachinami, Reuven has a strong argument that he's the owner of the building. So what's the case? Lotzricha, deruba kari le lebayis bias, ulabira bira. So what's the case that we're dealing with over here is the majority of people call a bias, call meaning an apartment, and a building. The ikonami de la bira karu le bias. But there are some people who also call, bless you, who also call a building an apartment, who also call the building a bias. So what does this mean? Mal de tema kule zabinle. So I would have thought that's what? So what would you think? Maybe then when I sell Reuven the bias, Reuven could come back to me and say, listen, Silber, it says here in the document, you sold me the bias, and we both know that some people call a building a bias, and therefore I am now the proud owner of this building. So Kamash Malan, therefore the halacha is coming to teach you that no. Midahavi le lemichtav, velo shayaris bizvini ilain klum, velo kasav. Sirabosai, when a seller wants to really sell everything, there is an important clause that goes into the sale. What's the important clause that goes into the sale? I am retaining for myself nothing in this sale. That wasn't good English, but the lesson is, you should underline this line because this is going to become an operative phrase in this parak. I retain nothing for myself from this transaction. Which I will say is another way of saying, I'm selling everything to you. I will say that is going to be the operative phrase in order to establish a complete sale. The fact that I did not write that, velo kasav, shma mina shiuri shay. We'll say, we see from here that what? That lemaisa, again, I have retained something for myself. What have I retained for myself in this particular situation? Well, in this situation, I've retained for myself the building and only sold away the apartment. So we'll say, what Rav Nachman is introducing to us is an incredible yisod. Rav Nachman, therefore, is teaching us really two things. Number one is that sometimes people stake out property much more than their intention of selling. For what purpose? To give people just location. Right? If I tell you I'm selling you the northeast apartment in my fifth building, you don't know where that is. So therefore, again, what I do is I stake out that area in order to go ahead and you could see where it is. But Lamaisa, I don't mean to include everything in that sale. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is, the only way to avoid, there are two ways to avoid ambiguity in a sale. Either you could explicitly articulate every single thing that you are selling, but there's an easier way to do that. What's the easier way to do that? To simply say, I'm retaining nothing for myself. If I say I'm retaining nothing for myself in the sale, then what? And it's clear that I'm selling everything. Now, we'll say now. Still, we'll have to discuss, is that talking about in a case where things are staked out? We're going to further clarify this. But Rav Nachman is introducing us to this idea that whenever there is some level of ambiguity that is involved in a sale, then Lamaisin, the only way to avoid the ambiguity is to explicitly articulate and say, I retain nothing for myself. Says the Gemara. So this is another case. Hamocher sadeh lechaveiro bebika gidola. But say, if I sell for my friend a field, now bika gidola bosa means like in a large plain. So if you can imagine, again, you have a large plain. You have a large plain. We'll say, take a look, by the way, just before we go on. Take a look at the Rashbam. Mishum dahavilei lemichtav. It's almost right across in the Gemara. Mishum dahavilei lemichtav. Lemocher, the seller should have written to the purchaser, v'lo shayaris bizvini ilein shebesoch arba mitzarim kadmi klum. I have not retained anything for myself that is within these boundary markers. Sharikach tiknu chachamim lichtav b'shvil sheyish b'nei adam shemarchivin ha-mitzarim b'shtar mechira. So we'll say, since we accept Rav Nachman's premise that people sometimes expand the survey markers, the boundary markers, in order just to go in and show people where the parcel is. So listen to this. Therefore, again, aloha lemaisa, when you demarcate property with property markers, what Rav Nachman is telling me is, when I sell, I have the right to determine what I'm selling. If my intention is to sell everything as outlined by the survey markers, I have to make the explicit statement, I have not retained anything for myself. Fine. So, but another case. There's a large plain. I'm selling my friend one field in the large plain. So I'll say, I own that plain. I own multiple fields. I'm selling him one of the fields. So I'll say, even though I put the property, I put the stakes in, nevertheless, even though I may have demarcated or I may have staked out a large parcel, I have the ability to come back afterwards and say, I didn't really sell you all of that, I only sold you a smaller parcel. So says the Gemara, well, what's the case? If you say people call a sada sada, they've called a field, and a plain, then pshita. Then we'll say, then it's obvious, right? I only sold him a field. Sada zabinla, bika lozon. So we'll say, so the case over here is where I went ahead and what did I do? I staked out the plane. But then it turns out that I'm telling you, I only sold you a field. Says the universe, what's the case? If people call a field and a plane, then what? Then if I told them I sold them a field, then I only sold them a field. That's it. So the Gemara said, Ve'ela, Ravi had to say, Ve'ela, tila bika nami karu le, I'm sorry. You have to say that what? Sometimes people call a plain a field as well. Well, if that's the case, kula zabinin. I will say, if that's the case, then I sell Reuven a field, and that field is in a plain. And sometimes people call a plain a field, then what? And I'm in trouble, because Reuven has a tiny, he can say, I sold him the entire plain. Rather, what's the case? The ika, I both say the case is the following. The ika, de le sade karu le sade, u le bika bika. So let's say the way it works is the following. The majority of people call a sade sade, and they call a bika a bika. The ika nami, de le bika kari la sade. But there are also some people who call a bika a sade. They call a plain a field. Maldutema, what would I have thought? Kule zobin le. Let's say, I would have thought that since some people call a plane a field, when I sold a field to Reuven, in fact, what did I sell him? I sold him the entire plane. Kamash malon no. Me dahavilei v'michtav lei, v'lo shayaris bezevini ilein kadami klum, v'lo kasav lei. So we'll say, again, if my intention was to sell everything within the property markers, I should have made this statement that what? I am retaining nothing for myself. I'm retaining nothing for myself. And I did not make that statement. Shmamina shiyuri shayer. See from here that what Rabbi Osai? That obviously I did retain something for myself. But why did I stake out the entire large plate? Rabbi Osai, what's the answer to that? The answer to that is because I wanted to give Reuven an idea as to the general locale in which the field was located. But those stakes did not actually represent the totality of the sale. They just were there to demarcate the region in which the sale was occurring. Because the only way, Rabbi Osai, you sell everything that is contained within the stakes is how? Is if you make that statement, v'lo shayaris bezevini ilein klum. If you say, I retain nothing in this sale for myself, then einach inami, everything within the stakes is sold. But the absence of that statement allows me to go back and say, I didn't sell you the entire plane. Rather, what did I sell to, what did I sell you? I only sold you one field within that plane. So ask the Gemara, Utsuich, Sabosai, now essentially we have two cases that teach me the same thing, right? The first case was the case of the apartment building, and the second case now was the field and the plane. So the Gemara has an obvious cash. Why don't you say it's the same thing? Meaning, bottom line, what am I saying? What I'm saying is, if I am selling a smaller area within a larger area, and there is a little bit of ambiguity in terms of how these areas are called, and I stake out a larger area, but my intention is to go ahead and sell only a smaller area, the law is on my side, the seller, because Rabbi will say, unless, of course, I make the explicit statement that I am not retaining anything for myself, which means all of the property staked out is included in this sale, then I am, in fact, it's understood that I am retaining something for myself, and I'm only selling the purchaser a smaller parcel within that larger parcel. Same principle. Why do you have to illustrate the principle two different ways? Meaning, why do I need the apartment building case as well as the field case? To which the Gemara says, "Utsricha." I'll tell you why. Utsricha. Diashmo inan bias mishum deha tashmish talachod va tashmish talachod. So Rabbi say, in the case of the apartment building, Rabbi saying, the use of the bias and the use of the bira are two different things. The Rashbam pointed this out. We're calling it an apartment building, but in reality, Rabbi say, this bira is a place where people would sit. People didn't live there, meaning in the common areas, in the building itself. The building housed the residents of the apartment, but the rest of it was just used for sitting, was used for, we'll call it a sitting area. So we'll say in the case of the apartment building, the apartment has one use, the building has another use. So I understand, therefore, why when you sell an apartment, it doesn't automatically include the building, even though the building is staked out along with the sale of the apartment. Why? Because they have two different uses. But I will say, a plane, which is made up of what? Multiple fields that all have the same usage, which is agriculture. I could have made the cogent argument, I will say, that what? That when that area is staked out, the intention of the seller is to sell everything. Therefore, again, you need both cases. V'yashmo inan bika. And if you would have just taught me the case of the bika, I will say, the case of the plane. V'shum dola havile lemim tzerle. Because I will say, at the end of the day, there was no need to go ahead and stake out the entire area. Look at Rashban. Dola havile lemim tzer. Lochud. Dola yoda mocher heich yimtza sada achas pesoch sadosov. V'hilchach. So we'll say, in the case ultimately again of the field, you need those markers there, because since you have a plane that has many different fields, a person has to understand the general location of where their field is. By the apartment case, where the mice again, there was an absolute need to demarcate the area that it is that you are selling. Meaning, you could have been more specific in your demarcation, and you were not. I would have said, kula zabinle. I would have said he goes ahead and he sells everything. Therefore, tzvicha. Therefore, I will say at the end, they need both cases. So the point the Gemara is making over here is that each case, the case of the field and the case of the bira, each represent their own novelty. One could not have been learned out from the other, and therefore both are necessary. But I will say, bottom line, halacha lemaisa that comes out from both of them is what? Is that it is common. This, of course, is a societal thing. It is common for people when they are demarcating property, when they're staking out property, to stake out more than is actually being sold for the purpose of giving the purchaser an understanding of where the property is situated. And the only way in which a seller is selling all rights to the staked out area is if he makes the explicit statement that what? I'm retaining nothing for myself in this purchase. To which the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Kirav Nachman. Ultimately, again, Rabbi say, it is reflective, ultimately, of the opinion of Rav Nachman. So we'll say, now, essentially what we are saying is that this entire Mishnah ultimately reflects the view of Rav Nachman. And we'll say again, remember, Rav Nachman was the one who said, of Hirchiv Mitzarim. So we'll say, this essentially we end off with a two-tier halacha lemaisa from this. Number one, the Mishnah is right, the view of Rav Nachman. that we accept the fact that people go ahead and demarcate an area larger than the one they are actually selling, what we call hirchiv mitzarim, in order to give people geographic orientation. And therefore, again, because of that, meaning once we accept the premise of Rav Nachman, there's always an understanding that every single real estate transaction, even though, again, the area is staked out, the sale does not necessarily include that entire staked out area, unless, of course, that becomes explicitly stated by the seller. Unless the seller says, I retain nothing for myself in the demarcated area, that means he sells everything. In the absence of that explicit statement, ultimately, again, it could be that he's retaining some property for himself. So we'll stop over here, share with you a short idea from the parsha.